Okay, the boy said today's daf is daf lamid. We're holding the second line from the top of the omid, where the Gemara begins. Tana Rabbana. Too hot?
Well, it's not good at radiation. I feel it's radiation. It's not
surprised. We have a braisa, second line. And the braisa begins to tell us about Yayin Mevusho. You'll recall yesterday we said on the bottom of the omid base that if a goy owns or owned wine, that wine automatically is osur as yayin nesach. How do I know yayin nesach is osur and is an isur hanah? The Gemara brought four back-to-back psukim yesterday to tell us that nesach yayin is deemed to be just like a zivchei mesim, and zivchei mesim happens to be osur hanah. I learned shom from eglarufa. We had the four psukim yesterday. But the Gemara went one step further. What happens if a goy owned wine and he used it for nisach hayayin, and then after that he went and cooked the wine? Said the Gemara, it still remains osir. Why? Just because you cooked the wine? Pakale isura? Of course not. And therefore our Mishnah, our Braisa continues on. Tan rabbanan yayin mavushal, cooked wine. Valuntis shel oiv dekechavim are asurim. Yayin mevushal is also, like we just said, because initially, like Rashi says, hari tchilosa yayin, at the very beginning it was wine, and just because you cooked it, the iser didn't go away. Even though yayin mevushal is not used by goyim for nisach hayayin, fine, but before it became yayin mevushal, it was yayin. And therefore, als the yayin sheboy, it became osir bano, the yayin of a goy, even though it was subsequently cooked. We'll see Mechem in another 2-3 lines exactly what that is, but it is, as Rashi says, a potion. Rashi brings a French word, probably pronounced poisson, but in English it would be the equivalent of potion. A potion which is made out of wine and other ingredients. There too, asurin, there it's asur. Why? Because before you made this potion, it was originally wine, and that wine automatically was asur. There's an exception to the rule, says the Braisa, Aluntis Kibriyosa. What is exactly Aluntis Kibriyosa? The Machloikis, Rashi, and Toises. Rashi learns Aluntis Kibriyosa means that this beverage, was originally manufactured by a Jew. He then sold it to a goy, and the goy now owns this beverage, this Aluntis. So Tachrashi, then it's a double portion that it's mutter. The reason why it's mutter is because when was it originally wine in the hands of the Jew? In the hands of the Jew, it was totally kosher wine. He is the one that created Aluntis. Once it becomes Aluntis, they are no longer menasech with Aluntis. They're only menasech, pure, undiluted wine, not wine that is part of this Aluntis beverage. And therefore, it's mutar. It's like Rashi says in the second line, "Aluntis kibriyosa shlihoya yain metchila biyat oivichavim." Initially, it wasn't wine in the hands of a goy. Elalakha asuri miyad yisrael. He bought the final, the finished product, the aluntis from a yid. Mutar is by no the sulim menasechle. He's not going to be menasech it anymore after it is already in the form of this beverage. Therefore, it's mutar. The Ezi Aluntis, but what's the definition of an Aluntis? Zokti Yimarik, it's sounding like we learned in a Braise Gabi Shabbos, the Gabi Hilcha Shabbos, Oysen Anumlin on Shabbos. You're allowed to go and make Anumlin, however, the Ein Oysen Aluntis, but you can't make Aluntis. The Ezi Alumlin, the Ezi Aluntis, says the Braise Anumlin is Yayin Udvash Upilpilin. You took wine, you mixed it with some honey, and you added some pilpil, some pfeffer, and you drank it, and this is Yevazin Zayeg Yishmak. You're allowed to make this on Shabbos, and you're allowed to drink it on Shabbos. Aluntis, on the other hand, is you started with Yayin Yoshon, older wine, which Yayin Yoshon is supposed to be better in terms of quality than regular wine. It's Yayin Yoshon Shedas, it's Kenim Noichei Meno, as if Shippe Yanko Ravino. It's Yayin Yoshon. Umayim Tzlulim, Mayim Tzlulim means very clear water. Now, how do you have very clear water? Explains Rashi that you went and let water stand for a day or two, so that whatever soilus would either fall to the bottom or go to the top, and then from the top you're going to go and remove whatever stuff is on the top, and then when you pour it from that kli into another kli, you pour it slowly so that the bottom remains on the bottom and doesn't come up. So you have now crystal clear water, and you add a farsamoin, which is balsam oil. You mix that together. That you're not allowed to do on Shabbos. But why is this anumlin any different than aluntis? Why is anumlin mutter? Why is aluntis aser? The key is, Dr. Braisa, the avdila bei mesusa, because this is made as medicine, as a medical relief. What's medical relief? If a person went into a heise schwitz and he's coming out and he needs to cool himself off, then he would go and take this aluntis for refuah. A normal, regular individual would not drink aluntis. It's only someone who needs to go and cool off from a hot schwitz. And therefore, anumlin is a beverage that everybody drinks. It's what we call machel briyim. Aluntis is a machel choylem. Anytime you're talking about any type of refuah on Shabbos, you always have to be goyzer mishum. We have to be nervous about shchika samamonim, which is considered to be a tolda of toichein. And therefore, aluntis, you're not allowed to prepare on Shabbos. Nor if you had aluntis from Erev Shabbos, you're not allowed to drink it on Shabbos. Unless, of course, you're talking about pikuach nefesh, but under normal circumstances, you wouldn't be able to drink it. Anyway, with this, we know what the definition is, Baruch Hashem, of aluntis, and that's what it says here in the Braisa, that both Yain Bavushal and aluntis are also because one of the original ingredients is Yain, and therefore, just because you've converted it now into aluntis, you don't say pokalei surup, even though at this point, a goy would not use it to be menasach. Now we're going to talk about Yain Mozug and Yain Mavushal, and we're going to speak about the two, both Lagabi Hilchois Nisach, whether they are Osir Banoah to a Jew, as well as whether there's a din of Gilui. Gilui is something that we're not so familiar with. Basically, it means leaving over water or wine or certain mashkois. We'll see in the Amud Beis, even certain ma'acholim, if you leave them out in the open, in those areas where you are close to nature, you're out in a rural area where there are a lot of snakes, you have to be nervous that a snake may come and try to drink from the water or from the wine or from that machel, and either by accident or on purpose, leave over some venom in that liquid, and that chas v'sholom is a tremendous sakana. You don't have to worry because the snakes don't drink from yayin mozik, only from undiluted wine, not from diluted wine. What is the proportion of wine to water in this dilution? Says Rashi, shnei chalkei mayim v'yechad yayin, it's 2-1. Other Gemara bring that there's a machloikis, and there's another mandiyama that holds that it's 3-1. But Rashi just brings the poshut that it's 2-1, two parts wine, two parts water, and one part wine. Yain mevushel ein by mishum nisach. When you're talking about yain which is cooked, then a goy would not go and be menasach it. So if it was originally yain mevushel in the hands of a Jew, and now he gives it over to a goy, no problem with the goy touching it, drinking it, and the Jew, can afterwards use that wine, because when it came into the hands of the goy, it was yain mevushel from the very beginning. Okay, so yayin mozik no giloy, yayin mavushal no nisach. And the obvious question is, what about the reverse? By yayin mozug, is there a din of nisach? And by yayin mavushal, is there a din of giloy? And that's what the Gemara is going to address now. Iboilo, first we address the second. By the yayin mavushal, there's no nisach. Iboilo, yayin mavushal, yesh misham giloy, yayin misham giloy. Do you have to worry about snakes drinking from it or not? Is Toshima Hayyid Rabbi Yankiv Bar Idi al Yayin Mavushal She'ema Mishav Gilui? No concern about Gilui. Snakes don't drink from Yayin Mavushal. Rabbi Yanai Bar Yishmol Cholash. Rabbi Yanai Bar Yishmol was not well. Ole Gaber Rabbi Yishmol Ben Zirut V'Rabbanu L'Shiyulei Vey. They came to go and be Mavakar Chayla. Yasmin B'Koy M'Boy Luhu. As they were sitting, so Rabbi Yanai Bar Yishmol, who's not well, ask the following Saila to Rabbi Shmuel ben Zirud and Rabbanan, Yayin Mavushal Yesh Mishim Gilui, Ein by Mishim Gilui. The Saila that we're asking is the din of Gilui by Yayin Mavushal, Amalahu Rabbi Shmuel ben Zirud, Hachi Omer Rabbi Shim ben Lokish Mishim Gavra Rabba Umanu Reb Chia. We're going to have this Reb Chia in another 5 lines again, so remember Reb Chia Paskind, Yayin Mavushal Ein by Mishim Gilui, you have nothing to worry about, 0. You have Yayin Mavushal, it was open, you don't have to worry about any snakes. Amrulay, so then they asked, Nismach, can we rely on this? Because after all, this is not just Issa Behetra, this is the dinim of Chas Hashom, Sekonis, the Farshis. Can we rely on it? Machvilhu Rabbi Yane Rabbi Shmuel, who was the one that was sick in this story, he was the chola that they were being mavakri chola. He went and showed them, alai the al tzavari, on me and on my shoulders. That's an expression meaning to say, you can certainly rely on it, because I'm telling you, this is a reliable psak that Rabbi Shmuel ben Zirid is saying, b'shem Reb Chiya, yeah, you can rely on it, it's on my shoulders, it's my burden to go and carry if Chas V'Shalom a problem goes wrong. It's not going to go wrong. Yaim Avushal, no din of gilim. Now we go back just for a moment to the din of Yai Nesach, and we're going to come back to Gilead.
Question: Eretz Yisrael.
Yes.
A lot of the island is makbid, you know, with Yai Mufushal, that if they say it's only to the Eved that it's for going to touch it, then with the Gilead they shouldn't touch it. Is there some, from what sense in the Gemara, it doesn't sound like there's any basis. Is there more with that? You know, I know it's on Hogar in Eretz Yisrael.
From what I understand, and I'm not an expert in this field, but from what I understand, there are questions as to whether Yayin Mavushal that we have today, is that like the Yayin Mavushal of the times of Chazal? The reason for that is because, except for Groysa Mevinim, most people cannot tell the difference between regular wine and Yayin Mavushal. They have to look in the Kleine Oisius to see whether the Mavushal or not, and they drink it. Oh, really, this is Mavushal? I didn't realize. So when you're talking about the gross wine experts, that's a different story. But the average individual doesn't know the difference. And so therefore, it could very well be that the Yayin Mavushal of Chazal, presumably there was a major difference that you could tell between them and the other. Hence, there's no difference today, and some people are machmir.
It would have had more to do with the way the Yayin is Mavushal, whether or not it has... You have to...
What temperature?
Yeah, exactly. The boil, or the 170, the 212, whether the alcohol has to dissipate, all that stuff.
Okay, so now we have a Oyeyesh Amrim, which is even a better pshat, and that is, there's a machloikis between the contemporary Paskim. What level of heat do you have to heat it up, so it should be called the Yayin Mavushal? And the main shot is the Gabe grape juice, because according to, I think, Rav Moshe, as long as it's Yad Seledis, and I think according to the Tanim Rav,
the Tanim Rav, it has to be
180 degrees, 150 degrees, whatever.
Higher temperature.
Exactly. So the problem with making it too high a temperature, because then it already loses its taste as wine or as grape juice. So they have to make sure that it doesn't go too high. The question is, that heat that they heated up, is that sufficient for Yayin Mavushal purposes or not? Anyway, getting right into the Gemara, Shmuel v'Avleit, Shmuel and Avleit, we find this elsewhere as well. Avleit was a goy, and apparently he was friendly to Shmuel. They have the Yasu, they were sitting together, and they brought in front of them Yayin Mavushal. Now Avleit being a nice guy, and Avleit knowing certain basic halacha, he took his hand away. He shouldn't even get close to that yayin, because he didn't want to go and passel it for Jewish consumption. So you don't have anything to worry about. Since it's Yayin Mavushal, you can put your hands on it, you can take it, you can drink it. I'm sorry?
It was a frum of Ozarna.
It was a frum, yeah, exactly, very frum.
It was held by the Arab.
Anyway,
did you ever hear such a thing that people did not even have idol worshippers look at the wine?
That's
in a paper bag.
Chabad. So they have from the chumrah either from the Rav or from the Baal Tanya or from the Tzemach Tzedek that a goy shouldn't even look at it, not just not touch it, but not look at it. So they put in paper bags.
That's even if it's sealed.
If it's sealed, they want it covered at all times. If you go and buy in a store and Chabatsker, he's going to want a sealed box, not bottles on the shelf that goyim can look at it. Zero. Has to be sealed, never seen by a goy.
So you see, this Gemara is not like that. I mean, here they even let him.
I guess Avleit and Shmuel were not Lubavitchers.
Yeah.
I was in a winery in Italy,
mm-hmm.
and the first wine of the harvest that season is Arashaha.
Mm-hmm.
They go in the first kosher wine. No, the first one.
Right.
The season is kosher wine.
Mm-hmm.
To avoid any problems of looking of going. And who comes in there? Chassidim. Lavavish. The machine. Mm-hmm. And no one else is there.
Mm-hmm.
The first one.
Beautiful. Anyway, in case you want to look at the Tosis right parallel to our Gemara, it's a short little Tosis. Yain mevushal ema mishem yain nesach ken halacha umutre memaga evikachavim v'nishosalei Shmuel v'avlei. No shayla about it. It's mutre azoy. Even Shmuel drank from it. Nothing to worry about. Good. And we continue on. Am say the Reb Chiya igluya lo hahu chamra mevushla. The Omer of the means the maidservant of Reb Chiya. Remember we had Reb Chiya a few lines ago. Igluya lo, she was niskala to her yayin mevushal. In other words, there was a bottle of yayin mevushal, there was a barrel of yayin mevushal, and it became uncovered. And now she was worried about shaylus of giluy. Asa the kamer Reb Chiya, Omer lo, ari omru. We said already yayin mevushal, mishum giluy, there's no problem yayin mevushal and giluy. The snakes don't get close. Shami the Ravada Barahava, the Shamas of Ravada Barahava, Igli Lei Chamra Meziga. Oh, now we turn from Yayin Mavushal to Yayin Mozug, and that Yayin Mozug also Igli Lei, it became uncovered. Omalei, so he told him, Omri Yayin Mozug, Ein my Mishum Giloi. Yayin Mozug doesn't have a Shaila of Giloi, don't worry about it. Omar Rapapa, Rapapa said, in general you're right, but Lo Yamorin El De Mozug Tuva. That's only if it had the full mizug that we had before, that Rashi said, two parts water and one part wine. Av mozik v'loy mozik, if it's only abisala, Rashi says, a mozik v'loy mozik, she'ein boi mayim harbe, is only a small percentage of water, not two-thirds water to one-third wine. Oh, then shasi, then the snakes do drink from it after all. Aha. Is that really true? That they drink from even partially diluted wine? Rabbi Ravuna was traveling on a boat, and he had with him wine. And then he looked in the water, and he saw that there was a snake that was swimming through the water and trying to get closer to the boat, because apparently that snake had his eyes on the wine. And Rabbi Ravuna didn't want the snake to drink from the wine. He'd have a problem of giloy. So he said to the Shamis, Sami ain't a dedain. Try to go and blind the eyes of that snake. Now, it doesn't mean that you should blind it by pouring water on top of the snake or trying to kick the snake, but rather, shokel kolimaya, go and take a small container of water, actually says, ma'at mayim, abesilavasa, show the bay and pour it into this barrel of wine, v'sarva choyre, and guess what happened? As soon as he did that, he poured a little water in, the snake saw that, and the snake said, I'm no longer interested, and et kamachta, later, he ran away and he went away and finished. Ah, so here we're talking about a small amount of water. There wasn't a mazig of 2-1. And nevertheless, the snake was not interested in drinking. A moment ago, Rapapa said, mazig v'lay mazig shasi, they do drink. Here's mazig v'lay mazig, a small amount, and the snake went away. Everything more. The truth of the matter is, when you have such a situation of mozig v'loy mozig, that the little bit of maziga, he will drink with gusto. But it's only if there are no people around. If there are people around, then he's not going to be moise nafish. He's going to say, saloin sermonish the whole thing. If it's not worth it, if it's a really beautiful, wonderful wine, like yishmak, then I'll be moist and nefesh, even if there are people standing around. But it's already mezika, even though b'diavad I'll drink it. Yeah, no, finish a finicky type of snake. But if the people around, the shinish. See, if you look at Rashi, moser nafshoy lomus, even for mothers, ubavishoyselenkol, and then he's not afraid, even if people are standing around. If it's chaya, if it's undiluted wine, he'll be moist and nefesh. However, if it's a mezika, if there's nobody around, shasi. Like Rapapa said, if there's only a little bit maziga, he'll drink. But if the people around, otoshin abisal moira, he won't be moise nefesh, and again to back.
Tibetan is a snake, snake bait.
Snake
baked.
Raw wine.
Put raw wine and you'll get the snakes and capture them.
Ah, that's a good idea too. Wonderful.
It's a
good
wants dead snakes? Poor snakes.
No, so you want to get rid of them. Oh. You have, you're out in some place, you put some there and you'll capture them. And then, okay.
Also, snake skins can also have value to them. There are some people that, collect them and use them for pocketbooks or bags or whatever.
That's
Anyway, continuing on. V'amaziga loy mosa nafshi. You're telling me maziga, they're not mosa nafshi. Oh, I'll tell you another story. But Rabbi Yanai, have a be'ach bayri. Rabbi Yanai was in the town called be'ach bayri. V'amri lo barhedya. Others say it wasn't Rabbi Yanai, it was barhedya. Have a be'ach bayri. Actually, it says it's the name of a mokoy. Perhaps there were a lot of mice there, and that's how it got the name be'ach bayri. But it's the name of a place. And have a yasvi. They were sitting. V'ave koshasu cham, and they were drinking wine. Here our Gemara says maziga, but the word maziga should come out, as we'll see. But of course, they were drinking wine. Partial huchamra bikuva. They went and left over some wine. In other words, they didn't drink everything up. They drank and they left over a little bit in a container. And they were concerned about giloy. The tzeruni biparanka, parvanka. And they went and attached to it to the top. Says Rashi, a kisui shel beged, koshri alpiyah. In other words, they put a shmat on top of it and they tied it around. So this should be like a nice provisional cover, so that it would not be magul. And guess what? V'chazil hulgchivya, and they saw a snake, the shokumaya, that brought water, v'roma v'kuva, and poured it into the kuva, into this container. How did they pour it into the container? Yeah. Over the shmata that was on top. In other words, poured it on top of the shmata. The shmata acted like a sieve of sorts, but eventually it went through and it dripped inside. Ad the mala bekuva, until the entire container got full to the top. So full, v'salik chamer ilavei parvanka, and now the wine went over the shmata on top, and now swam to the top, over the shmata, over this kuva, v'shasi, and the snake drank it. Here we're talking about a case of Maziga, and here we're talking about a case that he was Moisa Nefesh, because Rabbi Yanai or Barhedya was sitting there together with others, and they left over some wine, and he came over, and he started pouring water, and pouring water, and pouring water, until it swam to the top, and he drank it. Everything Gemara Amri, to Mozik Ihu Shossi. If you started off with regular wine, and he's the one that made the Maziga, then the snake feels that he's in control, it's under his aegis and authority, under his hashgacha, so to speak, then he'll drink from it. The Mziki Achrini, others are moizing it, Loi Shas, he's not going to drink, because who knows what they put into it, you know. That when he's in charge, he'll drink from it. Others in charge, Dushnish. Now, of course, all of these differences, the Chor Abyssal Shver, Amar Vashi, Visemer Mashasha, Piruka Lesakanta, can we rely on these Tirutzim when you're talking about Sakana? In other words, if you're talking about Yayin Mazuk, don't start telling me, well, it really depends. If the snake did it himself, then he'll drink from it. But if he didn't do it himself, it then depends on how much, and whether it was Mesiris Nefesh, and whether people were sitting there, people weren't sitting there, and how much did that dilute? Come on. You're talking about Sakana over here. Can you rely on these Tirutzim? And so therefore, Rav Ashi or Rav Misharish said, I don't know if we can rely on these terutzim that you just gave. But what is the halach instead? Omerava, hilchasa, yayin mozik, yesh boi mishim giloi. Yayin mozik does have a din of giloi. V'yesh boi mishim yayin nesach, as well as a din of yayin nesach. In other words, the goyim do use yayin mozik for their nisach. Yayin mavushal, ein boi mishim giloi, ve'ein boi mishim yayin nesach. No din of giloi, no din of yayin nesach. Period. That, the end of the psak halach. How did the snake manage to get water?
Yeah,
or water?
It's a question. Yeah.
Oh, he took it in his mouth. He took it in his mouth.
Oh, so Rabbeinu Chananel learns like the art scroll, and the Rabbeinu Chananel says something fascinating, that the nochash went into a well or something, take water in its mouth, would take the water to that barrel, poured the water or spit out the water into the barrel and went back and forth probably 10, 20, 50 times until he finally filled it up. If you look at Rabbeinu Chananel, we have it here on the right hand side of our Gemaras. It's in the right smack in the middle. You'll see there's a dot and then it says Pirush. Shasim and Ayayim, the snake drank from the wine. Venishim and Ayayim, the kuvan, there was, Shasim and Ayayim, either Barhedya or Rabbi Yanai drank from the wine. Vinishim and Ayayim, the kuva, and there was wine left over in the kuva in this container. Kuva is a klihi, kigoyin ashisha, uki yoitzima. The heavy paranka, they took a paranka, shuhush smartut. Smartut, even in Eretz Yisrael, is a shmata, a rag. The tzora barosh kuva, and they tied it to the top of this kuva. Voyanochash shoyev mayin, umevioi betech piv, he brought it in his mouth. Umeirikoi, and then he would spit it out like a Russian roik b'toich akuba, and she dismalas akuba until the kuba got all the way full to the top. V'tzof ayin mi alas martut, and now the yain is now above the rag, above the shmata b'shos anidrek, b'shinim the mazik, etc. So here you're talking about, wow, this was really moist in nefesh, going back and forth 5, 10, 20 times, spitting out each time. And how much water can a snake hold in its mouth? Twice, an ounce, a half an ounce, 2 ounces. And
each
Okay. Anyway, and then bear in mind that after it hits the shmata, it doesn't automatically go in. The shmata first has to become good and wet. And then when it's totally wet, then it's going to start having water drop in.
Intelligence is extraordinary. A snake would understand to do this.
Yeah.
I'm going to go,
I guess so. Anyway, continue on the Gemara. Zuki Mordechai the Sham made the Rav Chilki bar Tuvi. The Sham is Rav Chilki bar Tuvi. Igla loy. Probably says Igli lay. Probably says yeah. Igli lay. Ahu kista demaya v'havenayim gaba. The Sham is Rav Chilki bar Tuvi. He had a kista demaya. He had a container gzuntayt which had water in it, and that container of water was next to his bed, and he was sleeping, and now he woke up. And he has this container of water. He says to himself, maybe there's a problem of gilui. Also, the Kabbalah of Chilki Batuvi, so he came, this is the Shamas, came to Sadan Rem, to his master of Chilki Batuvi. Omalei, Hari Omru, didn't they say in Chazal that Emas Yoshim Aleyev, that when the snake sees somebody yoshining, sees somebody sleeping nearby, he's scared. In other words, the snake doesn't differentiate between a person who's alive and kicking, walking around and active, and a person who's sleeping. When he sees a sleeping person, he's nervous that that person's going to wake up in the middle and is going to kill him. Zukte v'hani mil b'yamama avo b'layla loy. Now he's asking him, what does this din apply? Does it apply only during the day or also at night? Why would there be a difference between the day and night? Because during the day, everybody sees each other, and therefore if the person wakes up in the middle of the day and he sees that the snake is approaching the water, he's going to go and kill the snake. Well, at night the person's fast asleep and it's dark and he doesn't see anything, so maybe the snake will come. So that was the shaila. Do you go and say that this only applies during the day but not at night? And therefore if this story took place at night, so then I don't have to worry about I do have to worry about gilui, or maybe not. So you have a lohi, of the maisa sinish dazai. Loishna be imava, loishna be laila, imis yashan alay, loyam rinan. This rule of imis yashan alay does not apply. Sigh during the day, sigh during the night, that in fact the nochash is very, very cunning and very smart. If he sees somebody sleeping, he says, ah, I'm a chai sleeping. He comes and drinks from the water, and he's not at all nervous that the person is going to wake up, even if it's during the okay, now the Gemara tells us about Rav and Shmuel, and we're going to have two versions of Rav and Shmuel. As you'll see in the Gemara, Rav version 1 and version 2 are the same. By Shmuel, however, there'll be a difference between the first version and the Ikadiyami. So, Rav loishasi mibei armoa. When Rav would come into the home of an armoa, meaning of a goy, he would not drink. He was talking about not drinking water. I'm not talking about drinking wine. He wouldn't go and drink water. Why? After all, they don't know the Gemaras. And even if they do know the Gemaras, they're just not careful about this Gilui business. They're not worried about it. It's Nochash and the Eretz. They're just not concerned. And therefore, I am concerned. Chamir is the Kanta. And he didn't drink from the water in the Be'er Mal. However, in Be'er Malta, if he would go into the home of an Almana, Shasi, then he would drink. Why? Even though she is Nishka Grois and Tamar Chochem, she didn't go to Bisyankiv, she didn't go to Bais Ruchel or anything else, and therefore she doesn't know all the halachas. However, she probably continues the traditions and the menhagim of her husband. And her husband knew you have to be careful about gilui. So even though she may not be so edumacated, but she certainly continued on the traditions of her husband, I'm not worried. Shmuel, on the other hand, he wouldn't drink by the almana. Since her husband is no longer alive, so therefore she's tossed off a lot of these things that were just burdensome and troublesome to her. Every time she has to cover the water, come on, my husband is covering water, I don't have to cover it, blah, 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 blah. And therefore, I'm noivis about the almana, he would not drink. I'm a be'amo, he would drink shasi, because nehi da'giluya lo yikapti, even though they're not concerned about the hilchas giloy, amat kerusa mi'yikapti, however, they are concerned about nikius, that things should be clean. So therefore, they're not going to leave a cup of water out in the open without covering it, because dust can fall in, and ash can fall in, and the schmutz can fall in. So not because of giloy, but because they're careful about cleanliness. And therefore, there was a machloikis between Rav and Shmuel, and as you see, mikotzer lakotzer, Rav was not concerned by, and he was concerned by a goy, but he was not concerned by an almana, and Shmuel was just the opposite. Ikadiyami, the second version is, Rav is exactly the same. Rav lishosi mayim be'armo, he wouldn't drink by the goy, because he would say that they're not nizar in giloy. And be'armal tishosi, he would drink by the almana, because sircha de gaver de kitu, she continues the traditions of her husband. Now the difference of Shmuel will be Shmuel lishosi mayim loy mi be'armo, v'loy mi be'armal tishosi. Shmuel would not drink at either place. Number one, by the almana, because he figured that she discarded those traditions of her husband that were burdensome. And by the armoa, even though according to the first version, they were makbid on the kios, according to the second version, Shmuel was nervous that even on that they weren't makbid, they weren't makbid on gilui, and we'd have a problem of the snake's venom, and therefore he wouldn't drink.
Armoa is a... is a Babylonian, it's I mean, where do they live?
I think it's just a synonymous term for Nochri, Akum, Goy, and it just, but it could be that he was
talking to Omar Avi, you know, talking to Lavan.
Yes, Omar Lavan, exactly. And when we speak Aramaic, we don't mean that Lavan spoke Aramaic, we just mean that the Chas is written in Aramaic. So it's a region, presumably, there in the Middle East. Omar B'Shubalei. There are three particular types of wine where you don't have to worry about gili. The nochash doesn't drink from them. And we're going to have again two versions. Version number one in the Gemara is because all these three are inferior and the snakes are fine schmeckers. They're not going to drink poor quality wine and therefore they stay away from them. What are these three? The Elohein, Chad, Mar, and Masik. Chad, which of course means sharp, is Tila Harifa. It's a very sharp wine. The Mitzri Ziki. It is so powerful that it breaks open different types of kriglach, different types of containers. If you look at Rashi, Tila Harifa, about 12, 13, 14 lines from the bottom, Tila Harifa is Rashi. Min Yain Chosik is a very strong wine. Vein Tamay Toif Umosik, it doesn't have a pleasant taste. El Kechoimit, it's almost like vinegary. Because it's so strong, a nochash say the nochash stays away. Dimitri Zikas and Rashi mevakeya noido is mechoyskai. It's such a strong wine. If you put it into a container, you come back a few hours later, you find that the noid has exploded, has broken from the strength of that wine.
So how do they contain it?
They probably had to have bulletproof containers, or as soon as it was produced, they drank it quickly so that it shouldn't go and break their containers. So that was. Number one, the wine, they don't drink from it. That's called the Chad. Now we're up to Mar. Mar is the famous Yarnica. This is Yarnica, says Rashi. Ra Umar. This happens to be a poor quality and bitter wine. Therefore, the Nechashim don't drink from it. Masuk, it's sweet, is Chulia. What's mean? Chulia is a Rashi. Machmas Hashemish B'toicho Anovim V'shuv Einei Hogan. Meaning that they left the grapes on the vines too long, and they are really sun-ripened, over-ripened grapes, and now when they took the grapes finally off the vine to go and squeeze them, they realized, uh-oh, I left it too long, I should have cut them a week ago, it's just too sweet, just too inferior, and the Choshim don't drink from it. That's Rav Shumalei. Rav Choma Masi Liluya. Rav Choma also learned the same three, Chad, Mar, and Mosuk, but he learned it as a Mala instead of a Gnai. It's like we have by Noach, Yeshosh Leshvach, Yeshosh Leshvach. He was Noach Leshvach and said that the three wines that we mentioned are all so superior, that's why the Nechoshim are not used to it and they don't drink from it. So Chad, what is the Chad wine? That's Chamar u'Pilpilin. Chamar, of course, is wine, and pilpil means peppers. So they used to soak it in peppers and peppers in it, and it had a real strong, sharp taste, and it was geschmack, and presumably people paid a lot of money for it, but the Nochash was not interested. Mar, that it's bitter, is afsintin. Rashi uses a a French term, ulishna balaz. I'm not sure what that is, but if you see the vav by the afsintin, the vav takes him serves a shas, and he says pirish lana. We have that lana shoydish roish poyrav lana. Lana means like bitter herbs, like a bitter moror. So this is bitter wine, but it's a bitter wine that apparently is attractive to people that like that type of bitter wine. In other words, Christ, maybe like a liqueur or something like that. It was gibaldic. And mazoik is meibarg. What's meibarg? Says Rashi, six lines from the bottom. Mashke meshubach. This is a top quality, high quality mashke beverage. Barg is loshin pras or peres in Persian. What does the word barg mean? It means meshubach. Kemoisosia barg in chelik. V'kulan ein nochashoyis mehen. Even though these three wines, according to the second pshat, are superior wines, nevertheless, the Nechashim don't drink. They're only used to the regular wines. They're not used to the fancy wines. They're not used to these poor quality wines. Om Rav Shem Metlokish Krina, Ein by Mishum Gili. Oh, by Krina you don't have to worry. Frankly, more my Krina, what is that Krina? Om Rav Avo, Chamra Chalia, the Osili Asya. What means Chamra Chalia? Says Rashi, Chalia means Mosek. It's the very sweet wine that comes from Asya, and presumably this was inferior wine, or perhaps it was, according to the second shot, very superior wine. Anyway, it was a type of wine that normally Nechoshim would not drink from. However, Amar Rava, Ubi Mekoimai, in the Medina from which Karina was manufactured, from which it came from, Yesh Mishim Gili, there you do have to worry about the Nechoshim drinking from it. Why? By time Mechamar Medina, since this is a very popular beverage, it's not only popular among the people folk, but even among the snakes. That's the standard fear that everybody drinks. Instead of drinking Coca-Cola, everybody used to go and drink the Krina, and that's what the Nechashim would see and smell all the time, and they would say, it smells good. It's not the wine that we're used to for Naim, but you know, we can declare the Krina also Nishkeferlach, and therefore they would drink it from Koima, but else, otherwhere, at other places they wouldn't use it. Omer Rava, Hai Chamer Di Akrim. Akrim means that it's starting to become krim, meaning it's starting to become sour, vinegary. The first 3 days, it still has its taste of wine, even though it is turning sour, still din of gili. The goyim would use it for nisach hayayin. However, once 3 days pass, it is now so choy midstik, it's so, actually, niskalkal harbe, it's so sour. Ain't by Mishum, ain't by Mishum, Yainas, so nothing to worry about.
Hold on, so according to this pshat, if you have yain in the possession of a goy and it turns to vinegar, the iser is no longer there?
No. We're talking about that it belongs to a Jew and he sells it to a goy.
What's the ain't by
Mishum, Yainas
on this?
At this point, if I, the Jew, own this wine that's becoming akrim, so I put up a big sign in my store, this is wine is going sour and therefore 50% clearance sale, and a goy buys from that wine, and then after that the goy wants to sell it back or invite Jews to come and drink that wine with him, you don't have a yayin nesach problem if it's after 3 days because it's so sour. He would not have been menasachit. What would he use it for? Presumably for salad dressing or maybe as an inferior beverage, but you don't have to worry about yayin nesach because he would not be menasachit anymore for avodah zarah. Even after 3 days, you still have to worry about gili. You don't have to worry about yayin nesach. My time is zim the mikra mishasi. Sometimes, if you have a snake who's really desperate and he wants a drink, he'll drink from that as well. Yayin toises. What's yayin toises? Now we're talking about brand new wine that's being created and manufactured and distilled and all the way inside a winery. Its toisis means that it's in the process of fermenting, it's bubbling. Anyway, Mishum Giloy, there is no problem of Giloy. Why? Because as long as it is in the fermenting stage, the Nochesh gets close, it smells, it says, no, it's not ready yet, and he stays away, he doesn't drink. The Kamtisisose, how long does that take? Giloy on the first 3 days. After 3 days, the Tisisa, presumably the fermentation, is now settled in, and now the snake is prepared to drink. Hashechlayim, shechlayim we've had before is cress. Now cress itself, of course, is not wine, but we're talking about cress that you mixed together with wine and you mixed it and you crushed it and all the rest. Anyway, mishem gili, you don't have to worry about giloy. Why? Because the snake will no longer drink from it since it's mixed together with the cress. And then the goyla were still noivis. Apparently, some places in the goyla, the snakes were not so particular or they were so desperate, they would drink. That's only if there is no vinegar. If there is vinegar in it, Migri Bahu, it says Rashi, means that this would be a major challenge and battle for the snake, and the snake says, you know what, I'm not going to get close, it has vinegar in it, and he stays away. Kutach HaBavli, we have Kutach HaBavli from time to time, we have the Sechus Psochim, the Gabi Shailis, whether it's Chometz or not Chometz, it's Soy, it's Vus. Anyway, Kutach HaBavli is... Today, it's one of the types of dips, a milchige dip, and maybe it would be a type of yogurt of some sort, but it had in it, says Rashi, ipushe pas, then siyuvi de chalva. Siyuvi de chalva means a byproduct of the milk, and then that's one of the things that you find in the ingredients sometimes that you don't know what it means. There's such a dairy ingredient. Anyway, and it has in it, ipushe pas, pieces of fafolta, of moldy bread. They mix that together, made some Greek yogurt out of it, or some sort of dip. Anyway, Mishum Gili, you don't have to worry about Gili because the snakes stay away from that. But they were makbid because apparently snakes over there did eat from time to time. Oh, Menashi, he is Benikuri Chashinan. If afterwards you come back and you see this open yogurt or this open dip that seems to have in it the teeth marks of a snake, so it looks like the snake put his teeth into it, oh, then Chashinan, then you got to be noivis that he ate or drank and left some venom in it. If you have a dripping water or wine, then you don't have to worry about the gili. That it's constantly dripping, 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 dripping. So you look at the Rashi. Rashi about 10 lines on the top. Tip. You have over here a barrel. The barrel, for instance, has in it wine. There's a hole in the barrel, and therefore the person doesn't want to lose his wine, and for some reason he's not able to stop up the hole. So he has a kli underneath this chavius, and it's dripping, drip, 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 into the kli down below, even though the chavius on top is sealed, so you don't have to worry about the chavius. But what about the dripping wine into the kli down below? You don't have to worry, says Rashi, tip lavi, tip, shemitaftif todir, it's constantly dripping, vatipim roid fei zuas zu, one after the other, utkufais vanochash shemei over there, when the nochash is, it's constantly dripping. In other words, if there would be one drip per minute, then he would quickly drip, he would quickly drink before the next drip. But since he keeps on dripping, 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 then the noise bothers him and he macht a plate and he doesn't drink. What happens if you cut off a te'ena from a fig tree and then you pulled it off the stem? By definition, by pulling it off the stem, now there's an opening into the te'ena and there is moisture in that te'ena. Do you have to worry about if you leave that te'ena on the table that maybe a nochash came and tried to eat or drink from the te'ena? No, you don't have to worry. Keman ki aitan the sign of blessing. Oimer oichel odam anovim te'ena balayla. You don't have to worry about potential gilui problems. You only say this by another ta'inim. You wouldn't say by water or by yayin. Because water and yayin, it's so matsui that I have to be concerned. By another ta'inim, apparently it's enoi matsui, and therefore you don't have to worry about it. It could happen one in a thousand that nochesh will come, but b'derech klal it doesn't happen, and therefore you have a shmira for Hashem. Omra Savishim Rabbi Yeshua Deroima. Rabbi Yeshua Deroima means Rabbi Yeshua of Dorim. It doesn't mean from Rome, but it means from the south. Rabbi Yeshua of Dorim said, Shloishim Mine Eresain, there are three different types of venom. Shalbocher, a young snake, the venom is so heavy and so potent, Shokea, it sinks to the bottom. Shobainani, if it's a middle-aged snake, Mifafea. The Fafeya, says Rashi, means that the venom will be suspended in the middle, Beintayim. Rashi used the expression. You write Mefafeya Beintayim. Somewhere in the middle. The Shalzokin, if it's an altar snake, for the times of Udam Arishon, then the venom is not so heavy and so potent, it's lying on the top. Ah. So Timura, it's floating on the top. Remember, so you're saying, as the snake gets older and older, then its power and its potency seems to get weaker. What tiny we learned in the price? Shloisha calls mancha maskinen. As they're getting older and older, gevura mitasris behan. Then the gevura is added to them. In other words, it gets stronger and stronger as they get older. Who are the three? Elohim, dag, a fish, nochosh, or our snake, v'chazir. So if anything, by a nochosh it gets stronger, it doesn't get weaker. So, and you just said now that the venom sinks by the bochor and it floats by this, okay?
Or the venom.
That's the Gemara's teretz. Every Gemara, koyech esufi hudika moisif. In terms of the strength of the snake, the strength of the snake keeps on getting stronger and stronger and stronger as it gets older. Zihare, as far as the venom is concerned, venom is kolish. Then that gets shvacher and shvacher. Therefore, the physical strength of the snake gets stronger. However, the venom gets weaker and therefore it's thinner. And as the snake gets older, it swims to the top as opposed to going all the way to the bottom. So, give me some practical applications that you're saying that the young snake, that it's shekia. It's very simple. You have a whole barrel of wine or water that became nizgala, giloi. Nine people already drank for it. They're all gesund and nothing happened to them. So I would figure, nine people drank from it, it's no problem. This 10th person should not drink from it. Why not? Because nebuch, the venom may have gone all the way to the bottom. So the first nine people that drank up 90%, they drank venomless wine. But the person who drinks from the bottom, nebuch, he might drink the venom. Exactly like we just said. Oh, that's the case of shekeah that we're talking about. And the Gemara says not only by wine, you can have the same thing by a watermelon. How do you know that avatiach is watermelon? Because in Eretz Yisrael they call it avatiach watermelon. But even here Rashi brings in the French melon, balaz, that it's a melon. But it's not just a melon. Vigasihi, sagresa melon, a watermelon. Oh, so now what happens? Going back to the Gemara, Abatisha the scout said they came uncovered. In other words, you cut open the watermelon and you didn't cover it subsequently. Why? Because chasashon, the venom might be all the way on the bottom. That's what we're talking about, the shekeah that it went to the pot. And therefore Rashi says, I have a lengthy Rashi on this Gemara, relatively lengthy, and he says that nobody should eat from an open avatiach because you never know. If you might be one of the first people to eat, maybe there was a snake that was an old snake, and therefore it's taf lamala. If you happen to be one of the middle eaters, maybe it's one of the mid life snakes, and therefore you can have it suspended in the middle, and it might be that the venom is all the way in the bottom if it was a young snake. Let's take a quick look at Rashi, Abatiach, in the middle of the Amid, Abatiach, Malafafine. Malafine, normally today in Israel is a cucumber, but it's from the same Mishpuch apparently. Malon, Balaz, Vigasi, is Azagrois, and watermelon. So when you open it up, Lechel Tzas, to eat a little bit. But in Medes Mekum, you leave it open. You got to be nervous that nachash is going to eat from it. The iraka, it's nice and soft. And since it's so soft, the eris could go down and get submerged in the water and in the soft material of the watermelon. You learn a lot of stuff. The first person on the scene should not drink. Maybe there was an alta nochash, and therefore you have the venom at the top. Don't, if you're number two, number three, number four online, don't eat. Maybe therefore the venom is suspended in the middle. Even if nine people drank, don't eat, don't drink, because a serious shem bochra, maybe it's a younger snake, and therefore the venom is down shakula mata.
So for that fruit salad, now I have to be makrid on for my magulas. I'm saying it's not only liquid.
Are you makrid on liquids? Okay, so try to be makrid on your fruit salad as well.
Yeah.
If you have it in the refrigerator, it shouldn't be a problem because that itself is a covering. If you leave it out in the chadam.
No snakes in America, though.
It's true.
Murat supposedly said that. Not a matter of that, he just said there's other reasons, he said.
It could be overnight, could be shindalids and evil demons, stuff like that. But also, we're not makbid in urban areas about that either. Rural areas, you've got to be more careful. When we were in camp, there were snakes all the time. There weren't too many poisonous snakes, but there were lots of snakes.
I was in Korea one year.
Me?
I had no beds on the floor. Mm-hmm. My legs was a snake, and mm-hmm. someone went ahead and took a bat and batted it away.
Oh! See that? Shkoyach. I remember camp where we had tons of snakes on the grounds. I don't remember so many in the bunks, but in the grounds there were tons of snakes. Anyway, Tanurban. So now, not only don't drink it, but you can be very, very careful, because venom is venom and it can get into all types of places. So, don't go and pour it in the shisaram. Rashi says, why not? Because maybe you're going to have people like you have today, people are walking barefoot in the street, and the venom in the water might go between kishrei etzpa oisa, between the toes, and if there's a little hole in the toe, the water will go in. The person can go and die from the venom in his toes. Don't spread it. Don't put it. Don't spill it out. From the yarbis venus abayis. Now, yarbis venus abayis means that after you go and sweep up, you want to make sure that any dust that is still there settles and doesn't go into the air. So you settle it by spritzing. You're sprinkling out some water. So don't sprinkle the water on top of that dust in your house. For the same reason, person might be walking barefoot and you have that problem. Even don't use this water to go and make cement or lime. Presumably, somebody's walking on the cement or the lime, and maybe the venom doesn't mix in with the cement, and it can cause a shalom again, get into the pores or into holes or into wounds that a person may have. Don't let your animal or somebody else's animal drink from that mai megulim, because the behemah could have a misa mishuna. And make sure that you don't use it for washing. You have mai megulim. Stay away from it. Pour it into the sewer. Don't pour it out in the shesaravim. Don't use it for washing your hands, your fingers, your hands, your legs, your face. Others add, Mokim shiyesh sirta osur, ein sirta is mutter. The what means sirta? Rashi says sirta means that the person has a sedek. He has some sort of cleft or a split, a cut somewhere in his on his body. So if there happens to be some sort of split in the person's body, even if it's not a full-fledged wound, there's no hole there. However, if there happens to be some sort of like little crevice with the eres misakiv sham, the venom can kind of stick, be stored over there for a short period of time. It doesn't quickly fall out. It could have an acidic nature to it and cause a hole. There wasn't a hole until now, but it gets stuck there in that kind of crevice, it makes a hole, and then chalila, then that could be very, very dangerous. So, isn't this the same as the Tanakama? Why? Explains Rashi. Because the pun of Yodav Raglav, those are places that have Psochem Ustokim. Where do you have Psochem Ustokim? Bein Etzpa Lietzpa, between the fingers. Even though there are no holes, so to speak, but there are cracks there, and very likely if some of that venom would get stuck there, it could cause a hole and you can get in. Oh, betoy chakaf, yeshadokim, and in your palm you have all types of, if you look in your palm you see it has like cracks in it. Va'oizen, vasvasayim, same thing if it would get into the ear, if it gets into the lips. Stay away. So the choyra, the chayim are just saying the same thing as the Tanakama, the pun of Yerav Raglav, the same thing with the sirta. Gav hayad we had already yesterday. Gav hayad, gav regel means from the outside, not on the palm side, but the outside of the hand and the outside of the foot, where there that is nice and smooth, and there are no cracks and crevices and splits. So therefore, according to Tanakama, don't. According to the Chayim, will be okay because there's no sir to there. Same thing as Ramani Diapi. What's nice Ramani Diapi? That part of the face where there are no smooth, nice skin part of the face. Not close to the eyes, the ears, the nose. Rather, a nice, let's say, on the cheek portion. And therefore, over there, there is no sedek. There are no cracks, crevices, splits, whatever. And therefore, according to the Chayim, that would be okay. It's not a problem. According to Tanakama, Vaita, Lo Yirchatz, Fana B'Yad Rakhla. Okay, and we go finally to the final look about the behemoth. Omamah, we just learned, don't let your behemoth, somebody else's behemoth, drink from that eris, from that water megula. You can allow your behemoth to drink from that mai megulim. That's talking about a special type of cat, where the cat not only can drink the water, but says Rashi, these are cats that would eat up snakes. If they eat up the snake, they're going to eat the venom in the snake. That apparently was not a problem. The cats have some sort of immunization system that venom doesn't harm them. And therefore, that price which says, is talking about when a person owns a shunra, he owns such a cat. So what's the difference between my cat and Yenem's cat? All cats are the same. Therefore, if my cat can eat it, so why can't I give it to the other guy's cat to drink from the Mayim Megulim? Even though it may not kill the other guy's cat, it will make that cat weaker. And therefore, I don't want to do it. So what's the difference between your cat and the other cat? See, your cat will also get weak. Okay, wait a few days and it's going to have a refuish lema. So it's also going to have a refuish lema. So Timo, you're right. Hey, it could be that your chaver is trying to sell that cat. He hasn't had an easy job of it. He's put up a whole bunch of signs. He put it on the internet. He put it in Amazon. I don't know how you sell things in Amazon, but I guess there must be ways of doing it. And he's selling his cat. And if you're going to go and allow it to drink for these Mayim Megulim, and then somebody's going to come by tomorrow and say, oh, I'm looking for a cat to buy, that cat is going to look all weakly. So you're going to tell them, oh, don't worry about it. Come back in a week from now, and it's going to be strong again because it just drank some Mayim Megulim and it had some venom, but it's okay. In a week from now, you might buy somebody else's cat, and therefore there'll be a tremendous absent. You yourself know that you're not about to sell your cat so that you can go and give it as much Mayim Megulim as possible, but don't let the friend's cat drink from it because of the concern. You're gonna go and be mazikim.
Thank you very much.
Have a good day, Rabbi Yisai.